Once again, I'm really sorry.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. You want a glass of water?
I'm all right. So this week we're going to be starting the topic of Maaser. So up until now we talked about the maximum of what to give. That's a fifth. We talked about the minimum, which is a third of a shekel. And now we're going to do, I guess, what most people are familiar with, which the Rambam, we said, called Mida Beinonis, like the middle of the road, which is Maaser, which is a tenth. Now, the question is, where does it come from? If you look in the Gemara, the reason why I don't have any Gemaras in the source sheet until towards the end is because there are no sources in the Gemara for it. We don't often, it seems counterintuitive, but there are no, what's it called? There are no sources in Shas for Maaser. That being said, there are some opinions, actually, that hold that it's a d'oraisa. Ah, so we'll see that Gemara in a minute.
Which Maaser are we talking about?
Ah, okay. So that is the question of the day. So there is a concept of Maaser in the Torah. Namely, we have Maaser Rishon, we have Maaser Sheni, we have Maaser Ani. What does Maaser mean? A tenth.
Mm-hmm.
In English, it's called tithing. So the concept of a tithe, of giving a tenth, existed in the times of Tanakh, obviously, and even for non-Jewish people. We don't have any Goyish law codes from that time that had the concept of a tithe, but if we do have records of people giving tithes, and also government and priest officials asking how come you haven't given your tithe. So the concept of giving ma'aser from something certainly existed on the books and in the culture in the Middle East. And in fact, in the Middle East, people wanted tithes from sheep, from money, from animals. Mm-hmm. So they wanted a tenth of a lot of different things. That was essentially payment to a political or religious leader. Now, Maaser for us, biblical Maaser, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, what do we give Maaser on?
Crops.
Yeah, specifically.
Animals.
And Maaser Behema.
Firstborn.
Right, we also have to give the firstborn. That's we have to give Maaser Behema. We have to give Bechor as well. But we give a tenth of our animals, and we give a tenth of our produce. We don't have to give a tenth of our money. That's not Maaser that's mentioned in the Torah. What we call giving a tenth is known as Maaser Ksafim, a tenth of Kesef, of our money. So it seems to be similar to what we have as a concept of Maaser on produce, but that's not what the Torah is talking about. So before we get into the actual potential sources for it, let's see a little bit about the concept of Maaser in general. So look in source number one. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. So the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim in the ninth parak talks about B'nai Noach, non-Jewish people, and he goes through the history of mitzvos that impacted the entire world. So the Rambam begins, Al Shisha Dvarim Nitztave Adam Harishon, that there were six things that Adam was commanded on. Alavo Dezara, on idolatry, Val Birchas Hashem, and cursing Hashem, Val Shvichus Damim, and killing, Val Gili Arayas, adultery, Val Hagezel, and theft, Val Hadinim, and on establishing a judicial system. So even though we have all of these things based on a tradition from Moshe, vahadas nota lahen, and it makes sense. You know, these are intellectually sound laws. They make sense. Miklal divrei Torah yeira, from my general knowledge of Torah, it seems sha'al elu nitztavu, that they were commanded in all of these things. Meaning the Rambam is saying, we don't have verses and we don't have explicit sources that Adam HaRishon was commanded in these mitzvos, but just from my knowledge of Torah, the Rambam says, it makes sense that they were. Then he goes further. Hosif l'Noach Eiver min hachai. Noach got an additional commandment to not eat the limb of a live animal. Shenemar ach basar b'nafsho damo lo sochelu. That's the source for not eating the limb of a live animal. So nimsu sheva mitzvos. V'chein haya hadavar b'chol ha'olam ad Avram. And that's how the world existed for the first 2,000 years, until Avram Avinu came onto the scene. Bo Avraham v'netztava yeser al elu b'mila. So Avraham came along and was commanded, in addition to those seven mitzvos, also the commandment of Bris Mila. Vihu his palel shachris, and he also daven shachris. Now, it doesn't say that he was commanded to daven shachris, because he wasn't. He just did. Avraham started this concept. Now, did Avraham do other things in addition to shachris?
Supposedly.
Yeah, so the Gemara in Yuma, we spoke about this last year in our series about Judaism before the Torah was given. The Gemara in Yuma says that Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah. So why are we highlighting, okay, well, he was commanded to do Bris Milah, but okay, see, Davin Shachris, he did other things too. Lecha Mishnah asks that question. We'll keep that in mind. V'Yitzchak Hifrish Maaser. Yitzchak separated Maaser. V'hosif tefila cheres lifnos hayom, and he added another tefila as the day was going, meaning mincha. V'Yaakov hosif gid hanashe. Yaakov added gid hanashe. V'ispalal arvis and he daven ma'ariv. Uv'mitzrayim netzdava amram b'mitzvos yiseiros. Little known fact: the Jewish people. And this is based on psukim in one of the haftorahs that we read, that Amram was actually commanded on a few mitzvos to share with the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlama Torah al Yada, until Moshe Rabbeinu came and completed the rest of the Torah. So clearly, Maaser existed in some shape or form before the Torah was given. It seems to have been started ostensibly by Yitzchak. Now, once again, we do have the Lecha Mishnah's question that Eugene said, which is Avram did everything. So why are we giving Yitzchak credit for this? So that's one question. The second question that we'll have to deal with is that there are actually a bunch of sources that say that Avraham started Maaser. If you turn to source number 8 on the next page, so this is the Hasagos HaRavid, the Ravid's arguments on the Rambam. He says, V'chein haya hadavar b'chol ha'olam ad v'hosef tfilas lifnos hayom. This is talking about what Yitzchak did. Omar Avraham. The Ravid's name was Avraham. Avraham, I say, kein haya ro'i lomar v'hu hispal al shachris v'hifrish Maaser. I think that really the Rambam is wrong. You should say that Avraham was the one that started Maaser. So where are they both coming from? If you go back, now let's see source number 2.
How come the Rambam doesn't talk about
Yeah, so there are many.
Like he says Amram and he stops there.
Oh! You mean what's it called? You mean Pesach that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to
do?
So that's another good question. The short answer to that is that the mitzvahs of Pesach are unique in the sense that there were two sets of mitzvahs of Pesach. There's the Pesach of Mitzrayim and the Pesach for all future generations. So there's some overlap, but the Pesach that took place in Egypt was fundamentally different. So that's not part of our eternal Torah, even though we may learn some halachos from it.
And what about HaChodesh HaZelechem? HaChodesh
HaZelechem is, again, that it might be the source of a mitzvah, but they weren't actually commanded to do anything with it yet. Moshe Hashem just said, this is your month. Okay, so like we established a fact that has halachic ramifications, but the mitzvos, even though the Sefer HaChinuch might quote that pasuk, the actual commandment didn't happen yet.
Okay.
Look in source number 2. So this takes place in the life of Avraham after the civil war with the first world war with the four kings and the five kings. So the five kings in the Jordan River Valley area had rebelled against their overlords in Mesopotamia. Lot was in Sodom, and so the four kings came and sacked the land. They took Lot hostage among the rest of the people of Sodom. Avraham came and wiped them out. And so he came back with a lot of spoils of war. And so before he met the king of Sodom, he went to Yerushalayim or Shalem. He met a figure named Malki Tzedek. Now we usually, if we either read Rashi or we looked in some English midrashim or we went to we heard it at the story as a child that he was shame. That's what Rashi says. Malki Tzedek is actually shame, Noach's son. Doesn't have to be that. Meaning, if you take it literally, there's another fellow named Malki Tzedek. There's actually some apocryphal literature from the Second Temple time.
Jerusalem was two cities. We always think that was a city. It was always two cities. Later on, it was united to one city.
So there's a pshat that Malki Tzedek is called Melech Shalem. He was called the King of Shalem. So one interpretation is that there are actually two cities, Yeru and Shalem, and ultimately they merge together.
Thank you.
What? Oh yeah. there's actually some Second Temple literature called Sefer Chanoch. It's not part of the Jewish canon. Some Christians hold of it. It's written in the time of Bayis Sheni in the Second Temple, where it talks about Chanoch, one of the early people in the world. Yeah, that the pasuk says that Chanoch lived disproportionately much younger than everybody else. He only lived like 500 years, as opposed to many, many hundreds more. And it says because, it doesn't say that he died. It said, ve'enenu, he wasn't there, because God took him. That's all the Torah says. So this Sefer Chanoch goes on a spin-off and says he was taken to heaven alive. We believe that too, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that Hashem didn't think he would be able to withstand the temptation and the evil influences of the people around him, but right now he was perfect, so Hashem took him away, up to heaven alive. But Sefer Chanoch says that he actually became Malki Tzedek. Very interesting. He went back up to heaven, then came down again. I don't know. Interesting story. Regardless, Avraham comes to this Malki Tzedek. We'll call him Shem, because that's what we believe. And Malki Tzedek says, Baruch Hashem. You know, he blesses Avraham, and he blesses Hashem, Avraham's God. Now, Malki Tzedek, in addition to being Melech Shalem, was also Kohen Lekel Elyon. He was a priest to the supreme God. Now, even though the nations of that area worshipped other idols as well, apparently, Malki Tzedek had a religious following where he worshipped Hashem as the supreme God, and people recognized that, and people appreciated that. So, if you look in source number 2, Ubaruch Kel Elyon, blessed is the supreme God, Asher Migein Sarecha Biyadecha, that protected you. And gave your foes into your hand. V'yitein lo ma'aser mikol, and he gave him a tenth from everything. So there's a lot of ambiguous terms here. V'yitein lo says he gave to him. Who gave to who?
Yeah, ask the question.
So the simplest interpretation, which is what many mefarshim say, is v'yitein lo ma'aser mikol. Avraham gave to Malki Tzedek a tenth of everything that he had on him, i.e. all of the spoils of war. So here's our first instance in the Torah of giving a tenth. Now I will say that there are other ways to read the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk is Malki Tzedek talking. So you could keep on reading it, and some Mefarshim and the Zohar read it as it's actually one long bracha. It's Ubaruch Kel Elyon Asher Migein Sarecha Biyadecha. Blessed is Hashem who protected you. V'yitein lo ma'aser mikol, and he should give you a tenth of everything. A third way to read it is Ubaruch Kel Elyon Asher Migein Sarecha. Stop. So Malki Tzedek says, blessed is Hashem. V'yitein lo. And who is the V'yitein? Who Malki Tzedek was talking about? Hashem gave to, or Kel Elyon, Hashem gave lo to Avraham, ma'aser mikol. So it could be that either Malki Tzedek is blessing Avraham or Hashem is blessing Avraham and giving Avraham a tenth. And we'll see there's a medrash that alludes to that as well. But the simplest interpretation is that Avraham gave Maaser to Malki Tzedek. And if you look in source number 3, this is the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Avraham Hischel Rishon La'aser Ba'olam. Avraham was the first guy to take Maaser in the world. Lokach es kol Maaser Sodom Va'amora. He took a tenth of everything from Sodom and Amora. V'chol Maaser Lot ben Achiv. And all a tenth of everything that belonged to Lot, his nephew. V'nosan l'shem ben Noach, and he gave it to Shem ben Noach. V'yitein lo maaser mikol. So the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that Avraham was the first guy to take maaser. So this could be where the Ravid is coming from. This is one of the Midrashic sources where the Ravid says, look, Avraham's the first guy to do maaser. Now, what about Yitzchak? How do we know that Yitzchak did maaser? Okay, yeah.
How do we know Shem didn't die?
How do we know Shem didn't die?
You know, it's a long time between Shem and Avraham.
Correct. I mean, we know, like, if you do the math from the Chumash, it comes out that, that what's it called, that Avraham and Shem overlapped for a good number of years. I think that's where it comes from. The Torah never explicitly says or describes any meetings, but if you run the numbers, they overlapped. And what's it called? There's many midrashic allusions to yeshivas shem ve'ever. Avram spent some time there. Yitzchak spent some time there. Yaakov and Esav may have spent some time there. It doesn't mean that Shem and Ever were alive that whole time. In fact, when Yaakov was there, Shem had already died when he was hiding from Esav. But
next question.
So Aver is his grandson. I'm sorry. Aver was Shem's grandson. If you look in Perek Ches in Parshas Noach, I believe it goes through it. Either Ches or Tes talks about the generations from Noach to Avraham. So Shem's grandson is Aver. So you are correct that maybe it's not them. But a tool in Tanakh and in Chazal that we use is conservation of characters. That if you see two people with the same name, unless we have strong evidence to suspect otherwise, it's the same person. Sometimes that causes problems, and sometimes Mefarshim and academics disagree. But as a general rule of thumb, if you have people that have the same name, and it generally makes sense that they're the same person, so we assume that they are. So now, what's the source that Yitzchak separated Maaser? So if you look in source number 4, this comes from Parshas Toldos. So in Parshas Toldos, there was a famine, and Yitzchak wanted to go down to Egypt. Hashem said no, so Yitzchak stayed in the land of the Plishtim. He dug some wells, there was some fighting, ultimately he was victorious, he got his water, and he had a successful harvest. Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi, Yitzchak planted in that land. Vayimtza bashana ahi mea she'arim. He found mea she'arim. It's not the city. It's not the neighborhood in Yerushalayim. It's actually quite the opposite. Mea she'arim, many people learn in Kollel all day. Here means that he was working. It means he worked. He planted and he found, or he produced, the ground produced. A shar is a gate or a measurement. That's how some Mefarshim explain it. He found 100 times what he had planted. Vayivarechehu Hashem, and Hashem blessed him. So if you look in source number 5, the Bracious Rabbi there, Vayimsa bashana hahi mea sha'arim, mea kurim, he found 100 kur measurements. Sha'arim melamed sheheemidu osa, he measured it. V'asas b'meya shemidu osa, and it produced 100-fold. But then the Gemara asks, then the Medrash asks a question. V'halo ein habracha mitzuya al davar shebemishkal b'mida u'b'minyan. There's a general rule that the Gemara assumes, which is if you want Hashem to bless your finances, don't count them. What's the rationale for that? It's because God doesn't like to do open miracles. So if you count how much money you have, and you know how much money you have, it's a much bigger miracle if God decides to double it. If you haven't counted it, and you don't know, so it's not a nes nigla, it's not a revealed miracle, it's a hidden miracle. So the Gemara has a rule that if you really want a bracha to rest on something, you shouldn't count it. So why did Yitzchak do that? Mipnei ma modida osa. Why did he measure it? Mipnei hama'asros. It's because Yitzchak wanted to do ma'aser. And in fact, there is a difference between truma and ma'aser. Truma, you're not supposed to measure. You're supposed to estimate. Ma'aser, you're specifically supposed to calculate. You're supposed to, you know, bring it down to as detailed an accounting as possible. Why that is, maybe we'll talk about a little bit later, but here's the source that Yitzchak did it. So now, what about Yaakov? There's actually a source that Yaakov also established something with Meiser. If you look in source number 6, this comes after Yaakov's dream. Yaakov has his dream with the ladder, and Hashem promises he'll be with him. And then if you look at the end of Yaakov's sort of bargain with Hashem when he wakes up, he says, if you help me, if you give me clothing and safety and food, v'chol asher titen li aser asrenu lach, whatever you give to me, I'll give you a tenth. So much so that they do the math that some of Yaakov took a tenth of his kids and dedicated them to Hashem. How we arrive at that calculation for another time. But what does the Medrash say? Amar b'medrash di Yaakov tiken lahem la'asos maser min hamamon. Yaakov established that you should give a tenth of your money, right? Because Yaakov wasn't just saying, whatever produce you give to me. Yaakov didn't have produce. He had sheep. Whatever you give to me, I'll give you a tenth. So now, what do we have? We have sources that Avraham was the first guy to establish it. We have sources that that Yitzchak did it. And we have sources that Yaakov established a certain level of maaser. Now, the fact that Yaakov established something is not such a problem. Why? Because what did Yaakov establish? Maaser on money. Yeah. What did Yitzchak establish? Maaser on grain. So the Rambam credits Yitzchak with starting maaser and not Yaakov because Yaakov did something else. Now, what one of the questions over the next week or two we're going to have to think about is how similar is Meiser on money to Meiser on produce? Do all the same halachos apply? Do they not? So at least from the way Tosfos is establishing it, the Hadar Zakenim, that's one of the Balei Tosfos on Chumash. So Tosfos seems to say that maybe they're a little bit different. Maybe they're two separate things. There's Meiser on produce and there's Meiser on money. Maybe the Rambam holds the same thing. Now, if you look in source number 7, this is a Medrash Tanchuma. So it says, V'Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol. So Avraham, Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. Mahu bakol, what does it mean, everything? Bizchus hama'asros, in the merit of Meiser. Shenemar v'yitein lo ma'aser mikol. That's the pasuk that we had earlier. Avraham gave a tenth from everything. Af Yitzchak nisbarech bizchus hamasros. Yitzchak was also blessed in the merit of Meiser from our pasuk of Mei Yesharim. And then, same thing with Yaakov, that Yaakov was also blessed because of Meiser v'chol asher titen li aser asrenu lach. So the Ravid makes sense. The Ravid says, well, we should start with Avraham. So then the question is, so what did the Rambam hold? So why did the Rambam not want to count Avraham? So there's a few reasons. What's the difference between what Avraham did and what Yitzchak did? Avraham gave a tenth from his spoils of war, and Yitzchak gave it from the field. So there's a number of differences. One is what you're giving Meiser on, right? One is not grain, and one is grain. So if the Rambam is counting mitzvos that we ultimately got in some shape or form, there's no specific mitzvah to give a tenth of spoils of war. We see that in examples in Tanakh, but there's no specific mitzvah to do that. There's a mitzvah to give a tenth of your produce. So Avraham may have done something with Meiser, but from the text, all it says is that he just gave a tenth of his spoils of war once in his lifetime. Yitzchak was a businessman, and he gave a tenth of his business ventures. So that could be one reason. If you look in source number 9, the Psikta, this is a Medrash, Ubachar ba'Avraham Avinu bidor Asiri Lenoach. So Hashem chose Avraham as the 10th generation of Noach, Asher Hischel B'Maser. So once again, this seems to hold like the Ravid, that he was the one that initiated it. And then, V'chein Tziva Libanov La'asos Ma'asros. So this is what the Ravid comes from. This is what the Mefarshim say. This is where the Ravid is coming from. The Ravid comes from this Medrash that says Avraham started it and he taught Yitzchak. So the Kesef Mishnah, one of the commentaries, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, he gives an answer to what the Rambam would hold. So if you look, he says in the middle of the first line, Ve'efshar lomar ledas rabbeinu, I want to suggest for the Rambam, Deba Avraham lo ashkechan she'iser mimono. He never gave a tenth of his money. V'hasam dafka iser hashalal habab liyado v'lo betoras maser. He just gave a tenth of the spoils of war, not as maser, but just as a gift, as something else. El lefi shekibdo malki tzedek behotzos lechem v'yayin ubarchu v'ratzolaseis lo maser hashalal. The reason why Avraham gave shame a tenth of the spoils of war was as a gesture of kavod and gratitude for what Malki Tzedek did for him. Malki Tzedek, Avram was coming back tired and hungry and victorious, so Malki Tzedek threw a surprise party for him. So as a gesture to the local ruler being nice to him, Avraham gave a present. But it had nothing to do with the religious idea of Meiser, according to the Kesef Mishnah.
But why can't you say simply the Rambam learns of Yitinlo differently?
I'm saying there's multiple answers. This is just one answer. The Kesef Mishnah says that it wasn't religious miser, it was political, ethical miser. But we'll see your answer too in a few minutes. If you look in source number 11, this is the Radvaz, another one of the commentaries. V'rabbeinu lo ratza lefarish kein shaharei ein hamasros noagos ela begidule karka shalo. So this is what we answered before, that it's not that one was religious and one was political. They were both religious, but one is agriculture and one is just something else. And so we're talking about agriculture. So that's another answer. Rav Menachem Kasher, if you look in source number 12, Rav Menachem Kasher, he gives another answer. V'nira l'taritz shitas harambam mishum degabe avram enu mefurish betorah. It's a little ambiguous as to what that means. If you literally translate the words, it means that the Torah doesn't say explicitly that he planted it for produce. He just had stuff, and so he gave some away. That's not what Meiser is. Meiser is you have a business venture, whether it's agriculture or not, and when you have a business venture and you're planning on using it for yourself, you then give a tenth to the Kohen. What did Avraham do with his spoils of war? He said, I don't want any of it. He said, I'm going to harimosi yadi, I raise my hand to swear if I take a shoelace. And so he didn't want anything. So that's not Meiser. That's not taking Meiser from your business venture. Avram didn't make any money off of this. So this is something. I'm sorry?
Giving away everything.
Yeah, he gave away everything. So that's not Meiser. That's something else. So that's the answer of Rav Menachem Kasher. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's not in the source sheet, he gives an answer that I'm embellishing a little with something that I was thinking of on my own, which is, the Rambam, if you go back to the language of the Rambam, he has a very specific language by Yitzchak. What does the language say? The Yitzchak hifrish maaser. Yitzchak separated maaser. What did Avraham do? Right, what's the verb that the Torah uses? If you go to source number 2, vayitein lo. One is separating and one is giving. Now that might be similar, but the Rambam actually holds that the real mitzvah of Meiser is the hafrasha, is the separating. The Torah just says, once you've separated it, I want you to give it to somebody else. I want you to give it to the Levi. I want you to give it to the poor person. The Ramban says those are two separate mitzvos. One is the hafrasha, the separating, and one is the giving. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says the main mitzvah is just the separating away, and once I've separated it for a holy mitzvah purpose, Hashem says, I want you to give it to the Levi. I want you to give it to the poor person. So what does the Torah say? The Torah says that Yitzchak measured, he calculated, he separated. It doesn't say that Avram separated, it just says Avraham gave. So the Rambam always likes to choose what's explicit in the Psukim, what's explicit in the Torah. So in the Torah itself, I have a clear record that Yitzchak measured, that Yitzchak separated. Even though Avraham may have given Meiser, which probably entailed separating, the Torah doesn't say separating. And that also makes sense because why? Because separating means I'm separating between Kodesh and Chol. I'm separating between two different categories, mine and God's. Here, Avram didn't want any of it. So it just says, look, I'm giving 10% to Malki Tzedek, and the rest of it also goes away, just not to Malki Tzedek. It goes to someone else. So that could also be why the Rambam, even though Avram may have, according to the Rambam, come up with the concept of Meiser in a religious framework, Yitzchak was the first one in the Torah that actually separated Meiser. So,
first of all, who got the other 90% of Avram?
So we don't know. It seems like everybody just sort of got it back.
He could have put it on the street corner. People picked it up.
Yeah, Avram says, I don't want it. I don't know, but the Torah doesn't say.
You know, why don't you put them on the street corner? Yeah. People did put a bunch of $100 bills on the corner. People pick them up.
Yeah, so like I said, the Torah doesn't say what Avraham did.
He wants to know where you're doing it.
Verb. Hafrasha.
Yeah, exactly. Hafrasha, to separate.
Yeah. That's a word that came much later than Avraham and Yitzchak.
Correct. It doesn't say that he was mafresh, but he says that he was measuring. That action is the separating out, as opposed to Avram, where it's just I'm giving.
It's two different actions.
Correct.
Separation, you're measuring, you're being exact.
Oh, but no, separate meaning I'm separating by being exact as to what I have to give.
You can separate. You don't have to, especially if it's crops. You don't go, you know, one grape for me, one grape for Hashem, 10 grapes for me. It's okay, a handful here and a handful there.
That's not how you do Meiser. That's not how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. But if you do, yeah, but you could do that very nicely with grain.
Right.
But when it comes to, I got one bushel of this for me and for the Kohen and then. And you're not even caring which Kohen you're giving it to. And also, if you give truma,
yeah,
it can spoil. Or you don't really have to give it per se. If you leave it out in the field and it spoils, you know, I'm separating this for the Kohen. Clunk. No Kohen picks it up. It spoils. It gets wormy. It gets moldy.
Yeah.
And you just dump it.
So that's why the Rambam says that the main mitzvah is the mitzvah of Hafrasha. It's just the action of separating. Yeah. So, right, and there's no kedusha whatsoever to Meiser. The last answer that I want to do, and with this we'll wrap up, is in source number 13. This is a Medrash Tanchuma. Avos Harishonim, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Hifrishu Truma so Meiser. They separated Truma and Meiser. Avraham Hifrish Truma Gedola. Avraham separated Truma. Shenemar Harimosi Yodi El Hashem Kel Elyon. Ve'en harama ela truma. So Avraham raised his hand. And raising is connected to truma. Shenem arvaharimosem mimenu trumas Hashem. You should separate, but not just separate, to lift up, to elevate with kedusha, truma. So Malki Tzedek was a Kohen. So even though Avraham gave a tenth, this was truma. This was kedusha truma as opposed to Meiser. So who started Meiser? Yitzchak, Hifrish, Maser Sheni. Yitzchak separated Meiser Sheni. What's Meiser Sheni? It doesn't even go to the Levi.
What about Maser Rishon?
Yeah, we'll get to Maser Rishon in a second. Yitzchak did Meiser Sheni. which who gets to eat it? The guy himself. You just have to do it in Yerushalayim.
Right.
So did Yitzchak go back to Har HaMoriah maybe to eat? I don't know. Maybe he made this pilgrimage back to Yerushalayim.
Did he have that mitzvah to take it someplace and eat it?
I don't know. I don't know. But then, so who came up with Maaser Rishon? Who's that? That, it says, was Yaakov. Yaakov, Hifrish, Maaser Rishon, Shenemar, V'chol Asher Titein Li Aser Asrenu Lo. So Yaakov was the one that came up with Maaser Rishon. So what we see from here is that there are a number of answers as to why Yitzchak is credited with the concept of Maaser, even though Avraham may have done something else beforehand. One answer is that Yitzchak came up with the concept of hafrasha, of separating. Another possibility is that Avraham may have come up with the concept, but he only did it with spoils of war, not with regular business ventures, or maybe not with agriculture. And then the final possibility is that Avraham did not come up with Maaser. This Medrash argues on the other Midrashim that he came up with something else called Truma. And Yitzchak was the one that started with the concept of Maaser. So we'll end here today, but from all of these psukim, it sounds like that there was a concept of Maaser before Matan Torah. And once the Torah came around, we have a biblical concept of Maaser when it comes to agriculture. The question is, what about Maaser Ksafim? What about Maaser on money? So it seems to say that according to Tosfos, in source number 6, we said, of Aser Asrenu Lo, that Yaakov said, I'll give you a tenth. So Tosfos there said that Yaakov established Maaser on money. Similarly, the Kesef Mishnah said that unlike Avraham, where it was spoils of war, Yitzchak gave Maaser on Mimono, on his money. It just happened to be that his money was grain. But it wasn't specifically because it was agriculture, it was he gave Maaser on his money. So from these two sources, we have a concept of Maaser on money from the Torah. And if you look on the last page, this is source number 15, it's one line. This is what you were saying, David. Aser ta aser. It's a Gemara in Tainis. It's a pasuk that you should give a tenth. Aser bishvil shatis asher. Give a tenth of your money so that you will be wealthy. And if you look in source number 16, we're just going to do the first line today. Aser ta aser. This is a Tosfos there. Hachi isa bisifrei. In the Medrash Sifrei, aser ta aser es kol tfuas zarecha, hayotze hasade shana shana. So aser ta aser means give a tenth of whatever your agriculture produces each year. Ainli el tfuas zarecha shechayev b'maser. I only know from there a tenth of my produce. Ribis uprakmatia v'chal shara v'achem minayin. How do I know I have to give a tenth of all my other business ventures? Talmud Lomar es kol. The word kol adds that I have to give maaser from all of my non-agriculture business ventures as well. So it's very clear that the Tosfos school of learning held that there is a pasuk and there is a biblical concept going back to Yaakov to give a tenth of your money. So it seems like that according to Tosfos, maaser ksafim is deoraisa. There are many, many achronim that disagree with that idea. And so we'll talk about that next week. All right. Take care.